in the Bible there are many paradoxes and contrasts. Practically every page there's something complex about it, but it's also something very simple about it. Maybe it comes to mind because of Jesus choosing a child in today's gospel and placing the child in front of everybody and saying, be like this, be like this. Very simple. You want to be great in the kingdom? Be like this little child. So simple. Just do the will of God. Just say, my, your will be done, and do the will of God. Just eat the scroll and do what it says. It's very simple. Of course, you know where I'm going with this. It's simple, but it's also very complex and very difficult. It reminds me of some of the Olympic sports, the Olympics we've gone on the past 2 weeks. Some sports in the Olympics, some of the events in the Olympics are very, very simple. Just jump over that bar. That's the whole thing. Just jump over that bar. Or if you want to get a very high bar, just use this pole. Use this pole and jump over the bar. I mean, it's the whole thing. Pick up that barbell and put it over your heads. That's the description of the whole sport. Pick up the barbell, hold it up over your heads. Just run around that track. That's it. Well, yeah, it's all very simple, but it's also very hard. And becoming like a child is difficult for us. Challenging. And then we realize it's like, it's simple in the sense that we say, well, follow Jesus Christ. Yes, but Jesus dies on the cross. So follow Jesus Christ means die and rise with Jesus. And that's hard. So simple and yet hard. The paradox of the Christian life is really summed up in the cross, right? The cross is both terrible, ugly defeat and glorious, definitive victory. Both. Okay, so let's start with this business of the child. They ask Jesus, well, who's the greatest? It always strikes me as a little bit of a funny thing to ask. If you're going to ask Jesus, of all people, who's the greatest? He's standing right there. Jesus is the greatest. He's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. But he doesn't say, I'm right here. I'm the greatest. He doesn't say, just look at me. I'm the greatest. He says, look at this little child. Whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one child such as this in my name receives me. So it's simple and yet there's a lot to it. The image of the child is a very appealing one. A little child. Filipinos love children and the culture is well known for its love of children. And I think everybody knows a little child is just adorable. And how could you not love a child? So you think of this image Jesus uses about the 100 sheep. Well, if the missing sheep is a little child, you would do anything you could to save the little child. Especially if it's your own grandchild. They see a lot of grandparents here. On the other hand, even in the Philippines, children are not being welcomed. You know, the total fertility rate in the Philippines is below replacement level now. So what used to be a very high value in the Philippines is now not that value. Not enough children to sustain the growth of the country. And if you look in the social media and you look in the general conversation, there's a lot of complaints about children. A lot of people just don't like children. And a lot of children are really not very nice to be around. A lot of spoiled children, disorderly children, children fixated on their gadgets and disobedient, and the way they talk to their parents is really ugly. And there's a lot of people who say, well, I don't even want to have a child like that. Now, you can't blame the children, of course, because children act the way they do because they're raised the way they are, and it's not just the parents' fault either. You know, the culture, the breakdown of marriages, family, they say something over 60% of the children in the Manila are illegitimate. I think 60 or 65%, something like that. So they're not even born into stable families. Most children are not. And in the whole country, it's over 50%. Children are not born into marriage. Illegitimate children. So, okay, instability, breakdown of marriages, dysfunctions of all kinds, and that's the human condition. So it's not even easy for children to be like children nowadays. It's not even easy for children to be humble like the little child that Jesus pointed to. Because they're fearful, they're selfish, they're angry. But we don't miss the message, right? The simplicity of the child is still beautiful, and the dependence of the child is beautiful. And even though every child is also a sinner, I mean, or has a sin-tainted nature, there's still something very adorable about children. Okay, how do we become like a little child? It's easy to say and hard to do, because we are not like a little child anymore. As we grow up, we have much more to think about. We have greater responsibilities. We also have bad habits that we've been practicing for years, and we have strong reactions to the things that are around us. Not childlike acceptance of everything, but we just hate it when we see this or that injustice. So we really are attracted to this beautiful thing or that attractive possibility. And we're not that simple. So this instruction of Jesus becomes challenging. How to be humble like a little child? How to accept the kingdom like a child? How to welcome the will of God in a childlike way? Well, we can't unless we are willing to accept the means that God gives us to be like this. I go back to the pole vaulter. You can't jump over that. You can't jump over that bar unless you use the pole. And you can't just use the pole any old way. You have to use it the right way. Otherwise, the pole won't get you over the bar just by looking at it. You have to run with it. You have to plant it into the, what do they call that place where they plant that little divot in the ground where they put the pole. And then you have to push yourself up over the bar. That's something like the Christian life. So what's the pole? Well, the Word of God is a pole for us. The Word of God, and let's take a look at the first reading, because the Word of God is described as a written scroll to be eaten. Well, that's simple enough. That's simple. Just eat the scroll. Just ponder the Word. Just take it in. Take in what God says, and then that will provide what we need in order to accomplish what God wants. This goes back to what I was saying yesterday and even Sunday. God provides what we need for us to fulfill our mission. Elijah in the desert, he had nothing and he couldn't go any further. God sent an angel, sent him bread, water, and gave him exactly what he needed to be able to complete his journey, food for the journey. Yesterday it was Ezekiel seeing a vision of glory, an extraordinary vision of glory. That's what Ezekiel needed to begin his prophetic mission. Well, here, what does Ezekiel need? He needs this scroll, a written scroll, written on front and back, lamentation and wailing and woe. Well, what are we supposed to do with that terrible scroll full of bad news? Eat it. Eat it. Accept the reality of life as it is. This sin-tainted nature that we all have and this sin-corrupted world that we live in. Yes, it's a world full of lamentation and wailing and woe. And a lot of it is our own fault. Not necessarily our own personal fault, although we each have our part to play. But the human family has made the world into a mess. Well, what do we want to eat that for? Because acceptance of reality is necessary for the acceptance of what God is doing in the mess. And this is the sweet part. Remember, this is what Ezekiel experiences. He's told, okay, eat this ugly scroll, accept the reality of this message and this situation, and it's sweet. I ate it, and it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. The gospel is sweet. The word of God is sweet, even when it's challenging and it's convicting, you know, contradictory, paradoxical. It's still sweet because it makes it possible for us to do what we're sent to do. It makes it, the word of God strengthens us to complete our journey. Not the word alone. Let's not forget that what we're really given to eat is the Eucharist. The food for the journey is really the Eucharist. And that's sweet too. Sweet as honey. Not to the tongue, but to the soul. To have food that drives out sin and evil. Food that gives us strength beyond our human capacity. Food that gives us life and more life, eternal life. It's the best food. In that sense, it's the sweetest. And this is what God provides. So it's better than a pole vault to get over the bar. It's like having wings. It's like having someone pick us up and carry us over the bar. And God does pick us up, like he picks up the little sheep lost in the wilderness, or like we pick up a little child. Yes, God picks us up, but not against our will. God doesn't force us over the bar. He doesn't force us to eat. He doesn't force us into heaven or to share glory. We have to make a decision in this sense that we can't just be like a little child. A little child, a little one-year-old, doesn't have much choice. You pick him up, he has to be picked up. Well, I suppose he can refuse to eat, and sometimes children, they refuse to eat. But the point is, a little child, he can be carried all around, kind of forced to do what he wants. But that's not how God treats us. Ultimately, he offers to pick us up. He gives us the strength we need, the food we need, the scroll we need. But then we also have to say yes to it. Yes, your will be done. And that yes is a costly yes. So I go back to where I started, the simplicity of the scriptural message, the simplicity of our faith is as simple as being like a child. But it's also challenging because we have to say yes to it. But we have a very serious responsibility. Not a child's responsibility, an adult responsibility to take this on, to yield to it, to say yes to it, to cooperate with it, to journey with it. And you think again of Elijah after he ate the food that was provided by the angel, he lay back down again. Remember? He didn't do what he was supposed to do. And the angel said, no, get up again. Don't just lie there. Get up, eat this, and then make your journey. Now, Elijah could have laid down again. He could have said, no, I don't want to make a journey. But he did. He got up. He journeyed 40 days and 40 nights. So that's the image of our Christian life. We have provided for us. God has provided for us what we need, but we still have to get up and do the walking, or the jumping, or the eating. So with that encouragement, let's go forward with confidence in the power that God provides. And we know with his help, we can accomplish the mission, we can join him in glory.